Hey, kids, we're a couple of annoyed grunt boys, and this is the 138th Simpsons Podcast.
Annyeong, Pussycat, wah, wah, wah.
Annyeong, Pussycat, wah, wah, wah. Pussycat, Pussycat, 난 것도 있고 한 개 할 시가 더 많으니 넌 가서 귀여운 네 구름 꾸며봐.
That's right. We're the podcast that explores the American animated sitcom, The Simpsons. But we don't start at the beginning, season one, episode one. No, we skip the quote-unquote golden age, the first 10 seasons, and we go straight to season 11 and beyond. When there's a new episode, we'll check that one out. And when there's not, we'll pull out the Wheel of Random to find the gold that is hidden among all those seasons from The Simpsons. I'm an annoying grunt boy, Steve, and I'm not very good, so I can't do this on my own. So with me, as always, is the other annoyed grunt boy,
Craig.
Hello, Craig.
Steve, are you going to congratulate me on my football team that I've been a fan of for all the time going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, good old Remy Craig, I always called you.
That was for something else, I think. Yeah, my football team that I'm not on a bandwagon at all. Steve, I'll have you know, I've been a Rams fan for at least 4 weeks.
That's very impressive.
Well, I'm not a big football guy. That's the thing, is like, I know as much about football really as I do about The Simpsons.
So a lot.
I was trying to make a joke that I don't know shit about The Simpsons.
Okay.
No, but I've had just fun watching the games, and crazy, every team that I was for the playoffs, or like, you know, back to like the last, like, yeah, the last 4 weeks, like every team that I wanted to win, because I have no stake in the game. I don't have a team at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I want these guys to win, and I want these guys to win, except for, I think the exception was the Bills. I wanted the Bills to win. But for the last two games, like, I was rooting for the Bengals and I was rooting for the Rams. And now, like, they're going to the Super Bowl. Those are the teams I rooted for. So I'm just going to have a happy Super Bowl, right?
That sounds like a lot of fun. Also, you should bet money on things, because it seems like you got a good streak going.
That's what I was thinking, too. Are we sponsored by a betting app yet?
Sure. Go to hotbookie.com.
No, Steve, you read that copy wrong. It's a Hot Wookie. It's a Star Wars porn site that advertises on us now.
Yikes.
Hey, Steve, we need the money.
I'll watch that Wookie Cookie video if I have to.
Let's see what else here. You know, there was a video game that came out on the internet, a Simpsons video game. So it's on Twitter. I think Bill Oakley posted it. Now, do you remember back in the 90s, like these LucasArts games, like the Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, these PC games that were a point and click?
Yes.
I think, well, like, besides that one, but the bigger ones where I was thinking, like Sam and Max.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just adventure games where you have a line that says like touch, push, pull, talk, use, and like an area of, and we just walk around trying to figure out the story.
Yeah.
Anyway, so someone took that concept of steamed hams, the popular Simpsons segment from 22 short stories about Springfield, and they turn it into a game like that with the same like crappy graphics or 16-bit graphics.
Yeah.
Just Google it and you can find a download and playable game. Now, Steve and I both played the game.
That's right.
I'll let you know, I beat the game, Steve.
Ooh, you're impressive.
Yeah.
You know, I put in, you know, a good 6 to 8 hours, but I beat it too.
Did you put in the Konami code?
Yep. Up, down, up, down, up, down, left, right, left, right, left, right, BAA, start.
Now, it's a very fun concept, I think. It's a nice piece of art.
Yes.
And essentially what it is, not really a game. You just play the segment.
Yeah.
Biggest critique, which again, I wouldn't have the talent to put this together, and it's not really a critique. It's just, I was hoping like there could be different outcomes. That was my only thing.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun, because usually it just says no.
If you click on
the option, but it would be funny to like get caught and have Chalmers like be mad and fire you or something. But it's a great piece of art.
You know how the in Star Trek, the test in Star Trek II, the Wrath of Khan, the Kobayashi Maru, where it's a no winnable situation.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what, it's just, it tests the character, your character is trying to be, you know, in under pressure, right? That's all the test is.
Yeah.
So you're doomed to fail no matter what. What if the video game was like that, where you try to find the most plausible solutions to like make Seymour happy, or not Seymour, Chalmers happy.
Yeah.
And make it successful. But like, new jokes are inserted, like the steam ham thing you could play off, but like, you know, the he makes like, what if I were to serve this roast as is? Like, let's see that. Let's see what happens when he does that.
Yeah, it'd be fun to see the different outcomes of the world.
Right. And you know what? In the future, that's probably what's like, speaking of Star Trek, you're in a holodeck, you probably can play
hams. Yeah, I could see like a VR version of it where you can like look through and like look do the window and see the Krusty Burger across the street. I do have to say that, you know, usually internet humor for me gets run into the ground and dies and stops being funny. And I maybe just might be my affinity towards The Simpsons, but steam hams is still good. I still thoroughly enjoy it as much as I ever have.
Also, speaking of it, Bill Oakley, who co-wrote it, I think he talked about how steam hams was essentially from like a Dragnet episode.
Yeah, I think so. It was something about how every season there was a goofy Dragnet episode where they like would go out to dinner, have a vacation. And it wasn't like any of those. And they were more silly, kind of like steam hams, similar dynamic.
Now I got to check out those Dragnet episodes.
I know.
And you know what I could do while watching Dragnet, Steve?
What's that, Craig? Which
Joe Friday would probably be mad about.
Right.
Probably give me a big old speech about how drinking leads to marijuana, and then marijuana leads to LSD, and then LSD leads to cocaine, and cocaine leads to heroin, and then that heroin leads me into a gutter, dead without loved ones around.
That's right.
I'd lost my job, the house, the dog, the kids, the wife, all because I drank a beer.
Well, that reminds me that it's time for our favorite segment, The Simpsons Beer Corner. Alrighty, Craig, what have you got for us this week?
Steve, I'm going to lie to you.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to lie to you.
I appreciate that.
I'm just going to go and say I didn't really find a connection with this beer because I've had it for a while and I've been wanting to try it. And when I want to try a beer, I save it for this podcast.
That's fair.
And because I only had one of them. I mean, I guess I could connect it by saying, all right, well, it's from Firestone Brewery out of Paso Robles, California. Am I saying that right?
Yep. That's wine country.
All right. Wine. Anyways, it's a beer called Cinnamon Dolce Nitro Stout, 6% alcohol. I guess you could say, does cinnamon have health benefits of losing weight? I don't know.
It's good for your heart. Yeah.
Sure. And Marge works out and that's good for your heart.
Yeah. There you
go. There we go. There's our connection. It's not really a kid friendly can. It's just red with gold. Yeah.
So yeah, I could see this either being really tasty or kind of being a sugar bomb. So I'm curious to see how it goes.
Wow. That's really sweet. But for me, for someone who loves cinnamon.
Yeah.
It's the spice.
It is the spice.
That packs the cinnamon punch.
Nice.
I've said it before, but like that's a dessert beer. Like, no, this is a dessert beer. It'd also be a great beer for the morning. Like wake up and drink it. It's like you're having a cinnamon roll.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Didn't you have a cinnamon roll in your beer last week?
We did. Yeah. I forgot to mention that, but the Waves of Silence from Fort George was a cinnamon roll themed stout.
Yeah. They even commented on it.
Yeah.
Our only listeners are
breweries.
Yeah. I think you'd love it.
Yeah. That sounds really good.
I could probably crush two because I'd feel like a little too full after the second one.
Yeah. I do love cinnamon dolce flavor. And I think Firestone Walker, they do a good job.
They get an A+.
Nice.
How about you, Steve?
My connection is pretty weak also. This episode features an appearance by actor Jack Black. And so I have a black lager. That isn't a person of color who cuts down trees. It's a beer that's dark. It's a Sundowner Black Lager from Bear Lake Brew Company here in Portland, Oregon. Very minimalist can. The bottom third of the can is black with a sun going down. And it's otherwise a silver can, so not kid-friendly. But it's a German-style Schwarz beer with Tatang hops and fermented frosty for maximum crispiness. It comes in at an easy drinking 5.2%. So, you know, usually I tend to get for the heavier beers, so this one's a bit lighter. But I do enjoy a black lager. It's got a nice dark color and a lot of head to it. Oh, it's nice. It's a little bitter at first, but then it gets kind of a nice kind of malty finish, kind of like to the Bock that you had recently. There isn't coffee in it, but it has like nice coffee notes, kind of that bitter kind of brown flavor that I really like. I think it's good. It's I think it's one that you could have throughout the night. Really tasty. So good job, Bear Lake.
Would it be good for breakfast too?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I mean, it says it's a sundowner, but I think you could have it when the sun comes up.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we love our beer.
That's right.
And we love our Simpsons more.
Yeah. And speaking of the Simpsons, let's hop in our time machine and go all the way back to November 18th, 2007, when our episode aired. What was the number one movie in the box office that week, Greg?
It was Beowulf.
Cool.
Wasn't that the, it's live action, but it's not movie.
Yeah.
Like everyone's animated, but it's meant to look real. I never saw it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody did. It, yeah, it looks kind of like a video game.
Right.
It's got Ray Winstone and Crispin Glover.
Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm. Robin Wright.
Robin Wrong.
Two Robin Wrights don't make a wrong.
Oh, don't forget Robin Left.
Oh, where'd she go? Yeah.
And don't I forget Robin and Batman.
Black Batman.
Black Robin.
That's right.
Born Again Robin.
Holy Trinity Batman. That'll make sense in like 5 minutes.
Or 25 minutes.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I don't remember. I remember this movie coming out, but I don't remember anything about anybody seeing it ever.
I mean, it's like the oldest story, isn't it? Beowulf?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sorry, Beowulf. Oh, Anthony Hopkins. It was directed by Zemeckis.
Huh. I feel like they're trying to capture like both the epic stories of like Lord of the Rings, but also like the 300 movies and those big like sweaty action films of the time.
And apparently it's free on, the whole movie is free on YouTube. I just started it. Yeah, the animation, because it's an uncanny valley too, the animation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Bob Zemeckis did the train movie too, Polar Express.
Right.
The same
Not
kind of
the
style.
Train movie, the one that's coming straight at you. Scary.
Oh yeah, that's the scariest movie. Yeah, I'm just like jumping through like imagery. It does, it's like a video game. Oh yeah, it's the Angelina Jolie is the naked gold lady. I remember that was like controversy about that. It's
yeah.
Like, well, it's not even really her, it's just her face. Anyways, and because yeah, Beowulf, Ray Winstone, like he's like a chubby guy, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's all like ripped in this.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is like PS4 quality video game.
Right.
Well, I wasn't Beowulfing. What were we jamming to?
Well, the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 was Kiss Kiss by Garbage Person Chris Brown, featuring probably not Garbage Person T-Pain. But as we've discussed before, we won't play Chris Brown because we don't think that he's a good person. So let's play something else. Why don't we?
Steve, isn't Jack Black in this episode?
He sure is.
You know what I would do?
Hmm.
If Chris Brown was ever near me?
Yeah.
I'd perform some martial arts on him.
Do tell.
With karate, I kick your ass. Hit your Tiananmen Square. Oh, yeah, motherfucker. I'm gonna kick your fucking dairy hair. Yeah, yeah. You broke the rules. Now I pull out all your pubic hair.
So great.
If you're a little Tenacious D, ties in with the Jack Black that's on this episode.
That's right. And it's great memories from that album.
Yeah. And karate, that's all we talk about because of Cobra Kai.
Exactly.
This is a Cobra Kai podcast now.
Okay. Yeah. Go Danny or whatever.
No, that's our Full House podcast. You see,
oh, that's
Danny.
Right. Yeah.
Anyways, okay.
So we're talking about season 19, episode 7, Husbands and Knives, in which Marge starts up a new women-only gym in Springfield, and Homer frets about losing her as she becomes a highly successful businesswoman. Meanwhile, Coolsville, a new comic book shop, opens in Springfield and puts comic book guy out of business.
Shouldn't that be the other way around?
Yes, it should be.
Okay. Bad wiki.
Yeah, bad wiki.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, wiki. Oh, Wiki, you're so fine.
All right, see, let's pound our beers and then watch this episode.
Sounds good. We'll be right back.
Oh yeah, motherfucker, I'm gonna kick your fucking dairy hair. Yeah, yeah.
And we're back. Today we're talking about Husbands and Knives, the 7th episode of the 19th season. It originally aired on November 18th, 2007. It is episode 407 in the show's run. Your nerd code is JABF17. It was written by Matt Selman, directed by Nancy Cruz, and your showrunner is Al Jean.
Matt Selman, we've talked too much about him.
Yeah, what the fuck?
He's looking at us on his wiki page, on his picture. He's looking at us like, stop talking to me. Like, why are you bringing my name up? That's the reaction on his face.
You guys are talking again? What are you going to say now that I was born in Watertown, Massachusetts?
Don't say that, Steve.
Okay, and I won't say that he's married to Renee Ridgely.
I think we've already covered that on one episode.
Got two children.
Like we said, we've covered Matt Selman a lot. He's, you know, showrunner and writer extraordinaire. So
that's right.
Let's just get in with the old episode. How about that?
All righty. Well, we haven't had one in a minute, but we got a chalk gag.
I was going to say, it was like, it's the full opening credits.
Yeah.
Have we ever described the full opening credits on this podcast?
So the camera pans in to welcome to Springfield. Nuclear power plant, the tire fire.
Dude, I'm already prison. Turning off the... turning off the podcast now. Thanks.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Chalkboard gag and says the pilgrims were not illegal aliens.
Like you could see that on a t-shirt with a guy wearing Ray-Bans and a hat.
I think I saw
his photo.
Yeah. I think I saw that shirt on some guy in Florida standing next to some swastikas. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, Nazis are out and proud here in America.
Good for them.
What's next? Banning books like the Nazis did?
I'm sure we won't talk about that later on.
Nope, not at all. How does the Wheel of Random know that?
I know
something like will come up and then we're discussing in the news. Well, again, we're not a political podcast. This That's true. Simpsons podcast.
Yes.
The Simpsons never discuss political issues.
Not at all. It is peculiar, though, that they're referencing the Pilgrims when the following week, I just happened to notice, was the episode started with a Itchy and Scratchy Thanksgiving episode. So they're a week early.
Hmm. So Bart said in school, Pilgrims are illegal aliens. And then Krabappel's like, that's not true. So Krabappel's the bad guy. Bart's telling the truth.
I see what you're saying.
Am I doing the math right?
Yeah. Because Bart spoke up in class saying that they were, and then, Krabappel corrected him. Yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
I bet Krabappel was, she was dead by January 6th last year.
Or so we think. Maybe she was hanging out with Robin Williams and RFK Jr., JFK Jr.
No, Robert Kennedy Jr. is with Larry David's ex-wife.
Right, yeah. She's a very patient woman.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Cheryl Hines.
Yeah. You do make a good cake, though. Should have stayed with your husband, Duncan.
Or switch sides and maybe date Sara Lee?
Yeah, nobody doesn't like Sara Lee.
I mean, Betty Crocker's kind of a jerk, though.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a little too old-fashioned for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Funfetti isn't fooling anybody.
Oh, is that Betty Crocker?
I don't know.
Oh. No, that's Pillsbury. Woo! Pillsbury can get at it. Get it.
Yeah. He certainly is an annoyed grunt boy.
All right, yeah. Hey, so there's a couch gag. The full four hours of intro, and then we finally get a couch gag, which is crazy because there's two hands, it's still animated, mm-hmm. opening a pop-up book that says The Simpsons to reveal a pop-up of the family, right? Mm-hmm. Did you notice that the fingers were five?
Yeah.
Or was that God opening the pop-up book?
I think it might have been.
Or was it us, the viewer?
Whoa, are we God?
Yeah, go around telling people you're God, Steve. See how that works out for you.
Alrighty.
You would pretty much just sound like, I don't know, 45% of the population in downtown Portland that's walking true, yeah. around.
That's very true. I'll defecate somewhere in public and...
start a fire.
Yep, in my tent.
Yep. I was driving by a... after work one day, and one of the guys, I would do call them tent people.
I can't say
homeless. That's
right. I think houseless individual is like houseless. The preferred nomenclature. But
yeah. Well, so there was like a guy starting a fire, like had a little fire going, but it was also like trying to like burn a plastic recycle bin too.
Yeah,
but, like over the flames. I'm like, what is he doing? It's right next to a plaid pantry.
Uh huh.
And houses and trees and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Normal stuff, right?
Yeah, I fires are not uncommon.
I think you said that last week on the podcast.
Yeah, it's a weird time in downtown. And it's not because of the riots or the protests that were 2 years ago or anything like that. It's not that. It's just it's the purge downtown. Like we legalized all the drugs and that's kind of what happened.
And there's really no law enforcement.
No, and there's also very little support for those people who are looking for help.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's basically just, I would say the Wild West, but the Wild West had people went to outhouses.
That's true. Yeah, there's more human shit than horse shit.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense. There's no horses down. Well,
I wouldn't be surprised if I saw one just walking down the street, though.
Yeah. Gotta love Portland.
Keeping it weird.
Yeah. All right. Well, so let's just talk about the weird Springfield people.
Alrighty. So our episode begins as it always does, at the Androids Dungeon and Baseball Card Shop, where seemingly every child in Springfield is looking for just the right comic. Bart rifles through the comics and to find which ones he has and which ones are lame. It's very relatable. Lame, lame, lame. Got it. He comes upon the death of Superman, the death of Aquaman, the death of Casper, Caveman Robin, Black Robin, and Born Again Robin, Holy Trinity Batman. Bart then finds the infamous Wolverine comic with pop-out claws, which is a take on the issue number one of the four-part Marvel limited series Wolverine from 1982.
I think there's some good jokes in there, especially since I'm a nerdy comic book guy.
Yes, this is one thing that I wanted to say to you off mic, but let your comic knowledge fly, because this episode is rife with references.
Well, first off, comic book guy is the filing of back issues is horrible. It's not even alphabetical.
True.
I think the joke of Death of Superman, which was very popular in the 90s, that, you know, that kind of I think helped revitalize the comic book industry in the 90s. It was such a big national news and all that, and that's how I got into comics, was because of that. You know, I'm what, 8 years old when it happens? 8 or 9?
Yeah.
Yes, or maybe it's probably 10. I think it happened in 92, so I would have been 10.
Yeah,
so that happens. Then
I like that Wonder Dog is at the coffin next to him.
Well, what's really funny is, because then they do the joke of the death of Aquaman and the death of Casper, which I think is a really funny joke, death of Casper.
Yeah.
Does he become human then?
He becomes Richie Rich.
Yeah, right. And then the Black Robin and Born Again Robin. But anyways, I think it's funny because the death of Superman was kind of what kickstarted to get more people to read comics, right?
Right.
And so it's always like not a cash grab for the company, but kind of like it gets more readers. And I think it's funny because this coming summer, I read in the trades, or the internet, I would say the trade, there's going to be the death of the Justice League. So they're like, fuck it, let's just kill all the
Justice
League.
Kill
them all. Like, and the cover is literally just like the Simpsons. When I'm talking, look it up, but look up like the Death of Justice League cover, because it's almost like a parody of this, because it's all the Justice League coffins and then other DC heroes like surrounding them, just like the
yep.
Death of Superman's and Aquaman's. I think it's hilarious. I also got to say that the Robin logo is like the legit Robin logo that they use.
It is. Yeah, I remember that.
I love that.
It's like, funny that DC went with an epic death, which seemed respectable and kind of like reinvent the characters, and Marvel just did their bullshit 2099 series.
I remember getting those comics as a kid too, because I'm like, well, it starts off issue one, so I'll get to learn these new characters, and I kind of like, do I really care?
Yeah.
I don't know who these people are. I want to learn about Peter Parker, not this Spider-Man 2099 guy.
Yeah, it was weird.
But I did get the Spider-Man 2099 and X-Men.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think I had a couple issues though.
Yeah, I'm about to get there in my chronological reading, and I don't know how far I really want to go.
Have you got to the Ben Reilly Spider-Man?
Not yet.
Okay. Spoilers.
That's fine.
From comic books from the 1990s. Oh man, there's already enough podcasts out there to discuss 90s comics, I'm assuming. Why would we have to be another one?
Yeah, I know. We'll be a Simpsons podcast instead.
That doesn't talk about the Simpsons from the 90s.
Right.
Oh boy, we make stupid decisions.
We do.
Next up, we're going to do a Grace Under Fire podcast.
Of Dave Thomas' finest work.
Who's today's modern?
Brett Butler,
yeah.
Huh, that's a good question.
Well, I'll let you think about that and come to me in about 3 weeks.
All righty.
I'm going to ask you 3 weeks on this podcast.
Sounds good.
You think I'll remember that?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
One thing we're good about is follow through.
Yeah. What else about that fun? Oh, yeah, the Wolverine comic. That's also the number one, pretty much just a copy of it. I always wanted that issue as a kid.
Yeah, currently.
Four-part series.
Issue number one, depending on the condition, goes from anywhere from $200 to $11,000.
Ooh.
Yeah,
that four issue miniseries, I think it was also kind of the story for the Wolverine movie that they did.
That makes sense.
That's not the origins, the other one. That was, it was okay.
Yeah,
it was all right. Logan's good though.
Anyway, I need to see that. Yeah,
you're allowed to watch those. They're not part of the main MCU. Oh, they might be in the future.
It's true.
All the MCU, all the Marvel movies are now going to be all MCU.
Too much.
That's right, even all the Ghost Riders. And Maybe they'll make the Dolph Lundgren Punisher.
Oh, canon. Yeah. Howard the Duck, is he back in?
Well, he was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's right. Yeah.
But I'm assuming that the George Lucas one should be part of the universe.
Yeah.
That was, you know, that's the very first Marvel theatrical movie is Howard the Duck. They did, you know, TV movies, but there was never a theatrical movie until Howard the Duck.
That's wild.
Yeah. And it wasn't like Punisher, also TV movie of Dolph Lundgren.
That one, I think, was in the theater, but it was later because that's like 89.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And Captain America, I think, was that a TV movie?
That was. Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't until like what, X-Men or Blade, maybe Blade?
Probably Blade.
Blade was before X-Men, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know why they just don't get Wesley Snipes to be Blade again.
Yeah. What's he doing?
No, not his taxes, obviously.
It's true.
Hey-o, joke from 2009.
Letterman says thank you.
2009, he was either having a heart attack or cheating on his wife.
That's right.
Anyways, hey, back at the comic book store, which I haven't got. Jesus, we just ramble on before we ever get to our first clip. I know. Sorry, but
that's fine.
So Milhouse picks up that comic book, and Bart opens up, and then the adamantium claws scratch Milhouse in the face, causing him to cry there, which I think is funny because it's a nice, we had a pop-up in the couch gagging, so we got
a lot of pop-ups. It's like you're at a bad website.
Or just, you know, all websites.
That's true.
Just give me the damn recipe. I don't want to subscribe to your website.
I don't care what Jeffrey's doing.
Milhouse cries, but a single tear lands on the comic, causing the comic book guy, Jeff Albertson, to freak out.
Nice work, Dr. Boohoo. Your tears have smudged Wolverine's iconic sideburns. Hence, you must buy this comic. And the cost of your innocent accident is... $25, please.
But that's the money Yaya Sophia gave me for Greek Orthodox Easter. Ooh,
I hate when they tell me things about themselves.
You should stop being so mean to us kids.
Well, I suppose you could buy your comics somewhere else. Maybe they sell comics at the dry cleaners. No, perhaps they sell comics at the mattress store. No, oh, perhaps you could buy your comics at that new comic book store across the street. Philip K. Dick. It can't be. It's as if Superman moved to Gotham City.
Which he did in World's Finest Comics number 94. See?
That was an imaginary story dreamt by Jimmy Olsen after he was kicked in the head by Supergirl's horse Comet. It never really happened.
None of these things ever really happened.
Get out of my store.
Uh-oh, I think Steve has a problem.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Steve, you like the sign gags. It starts off with just the Springfield dry cleaner, which that's not that fun of a pun.
No.
But then the next one is a mattress store called Snooze at 11.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That is funny. I just don't know why they didn't go like they were. It's like they were hard pressed to come up with a Springfield dry cleaner pun.
All right. What do you got?
I don't know.
That Springfield dry cleaner. I hardly knew her. No.
Iron Man dry cleaner.
Springfield dry. Matt Selman was like, guys, think of something like Springfield dry cleaner, but funny. And then they're all like, Springfield dry cleaner. Okay. Oh, yeah.
We're
good
with it. Let's go to lunch.
Yeah. Chinese. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that, but yeah, now that I think about it, it's kind of hard to come up with a dry cleaning pun. Snooze at 11. Nope. That one doesn't work.
Clean at 11. Snooze at 11. Yeah, you're right. This is too hard.
I'm looking. Some boards say irony is the opposite of wrinkly. Yeah, I guess it's tough.
All right.
They didn't need to. It's a dumb joke. Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier go to a dry cleaner. Owner says, "How can I help you?" They say, "How much to wash an old pair of boxers?" Okay.
I have a blunder, Steve.
Okay.
So in issue 94 of World's Finest, Martin says that Superman moves to Gotham, right?
Right.
I'll have you know that the actual issue 94 of World's Finest is not about that at all. So when Luthor escapes from prison again, Batman and Robin are reminded of their earliest case together with Superman. They rush to Metropolis in the event that Luthor intends to use kryptonite against Superman again. But when Batman and Robin summon Superman to work out their collaborative attack to stop Luthor, they are surprised to see Superman arrive with Power Man.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know who Power Man is, but he looks evil. Superman unexpectedly claims that Power Man is his new partner and that Batman and Robin are no longer needed. The surprise move does not deter Batman or Robin from continuing their investigation against Luthor. Though not directly with Superman, Batman and Robin devise an effective defense against Luthor's latest invention, a destructive ray that cannot penetrate Silicon. With their shields, they subdue Luthor and confiscate the kryptonite he intended to use and deploy against Superman. With the threat of Luthor removed, Superman revealed to his friends that Power Man was a remote-controlled robot he designed to safeguard them from harm. A deal with Luthor is attempted to use kryptonite to eliminate Superman. Yeah, nothing about him moving.
Wow.
There's also like another story featuring Tomahawk. It must be a racist character.
Yeah.
There's a, I think there was a Green Arrow story in it. I mean, there's sort of just a lot of, Green Arrow, the Rocket Raiders.
Interesting.
Yeah. Trivia, this comic was mentioned in the Simpsons episode, Husbands and Knives.
Hey.
See, Lisa, see.
Yes, Dad.
The World's Finest is, you know, that was like
an anthology of.
Yeah, I think it was what it was, you know, because kids, you know, you only, you know, it was 10 cents, mm-hmm. 1958. It's a lot of money. You know, back then you can't just collect a Superman, a Batman. You're not rich. I mean, the rich kids did.
Right.
World's Finest was the best way to go because you got Superman and Batman.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
That's why Justice League was great, too, because you had all the heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. World's Finest.
World's Finest.
I don't know why they just didn't call the Batman Superman movie World's Finest. No, because they were jerks.
Yeah, but that would have been fun.
Yeah. All right. I'm done talking about comic books, I think. Maybe.
Well, yeah.
Maybe the cape ones.
Yeah, I feel like at a certain point, the episode will run out of comic books as well.
So the kids, they exit that comic shop and they go across the street to Coolsville. They pass that grand opening ribbon and they meet the new store owner. He's a hipster, Steve. He must be from Portland. Isn't he from Portland? Don't they establish?
I think he does, yeah.
But he's got a pork pie hat, a black frame glasses, and a little goatee there. And it's voiced by the star of The Never Ending Story 3. He was the bully.
Yeah.
And also the star of Waterworld.
Yeah.
The star of a Pitfall commercial, video game commercial as a kid?
This is true, yeah. The show we have randomly brought up, Shallow Hal.
Yeah, Shallow Hal, and he's a panda bear voice, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda.
He plays Carl in King Kong.
Tenacious D. Jack Black.
Jack Black. There it is. I think School of Rock is a great movie. I don't know why, but that movie is really good to me, even though it's kind of a kid's movie. But it's like one of my favorite movies, I think.
Man, I haven't watched School of Rock probably since 2006 or 7.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and watch that.
Just flows really well.
Wasn't there one of the kids die recently, like in a traffic accident?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's hear Jack Black talk, huh?
Okay.
Hey, what up, you guys? How goes it? My name's Milo, and this is Coolsville. Now listen, before everyone chills with some sweet comic bees, everyone gets a free piece of Japanese hard candy. One for you, short kid in back, down low, go long.
I got prawn!
Mm. I got miso.
Mm. I got dolphin.
Now, I hope y'all like Korean pop covers of Tom Jones songs, because they're about to be blasted.
Lisa's sadness that she got dolphin.
I got dolphin.
All right, Steve. I went to Japan this weekend.
Oh, boy.
And I got some candy here, and I got those flavors. So here's prawn.
Mmm. Okay.
So here's trippy. Miso. Yeah, here's miso.
Mmm. Tastes like tofu.
And the dolphin.
Oh, wow. That's delicious. That's the best thing I've ever tasted.
So what you're saying is we should just eat more dolphin?
I think so. I mean, I feel smarter, and I have an erection now. It's everything I could want in food.
Looks like dolphin's back on the menu, boys. That was a line from Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Steve brought this up. Did you bring it up on the podcast that?
I think I did.
How come the orcs say meat's back on the menu? Do orcs have restaurants?
Right. Which brings a whole lot of questions like, are there orc waiters?
Orc chef. Yeah.
Yeah.
Orcs. Yeah. Hmm. Orcsville.
Orcsville.
Sounds like an animated show.
Yeah. Like that aired on Saturday nights on the WB in 2002, right after Mission Hill.
Or wouldn't Orcsville be Mork from Ork?
Oh, yeah.
Be animated. Well, there was an animated Mork and Mindy, wasn't there?
There was, yeah. I don't remember it, but yeah.
Yeah.
So Coolsville is a kind of a parody of Meltdown Comics in Los Angeles, California, or in Hollywood, really. It's no longer there. But like a lot of the writers on the show at the time would go there for their comics because it was a very well-respected comic book shop, and also in the back of it, they had a comedy club. And Jonah Ray and Kumail Nanjiani had a show every Wednesday night there. And a few years back, I was in LA and we happened to go to it. And sadly, Kumail Nanjiani couldn't be there. So it was Jonah Ray, but they had a guest host, which was Judd Apatow.
Apatow, that hack?
Yeah.
What has he ever done?
He was trying to do stand up.
Like that very funny movie he did, Funny People.
Exactly. And yeah, his set was just a little bit long.
You know, I don't think I actually finished the movie. I think I started Funny People. I'm like, this isn't funny.
Yeah.
But we said we liked Judd Apatow last week on the podcast.
Yeah. I actually do like Judd Apatow.
Yeah.
I think I like him more than I like his movies, though.
Yeah. But what was the last thing he did?
Well, I watched his Masterclass.
I didn't watch that.
He's a good producer. He's good at finding good, talented people.
Right.
And helping them make stuff. And also, he made Girls.
Just one. Her name's Maude.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, there's two, isn't there?
I don't know.
He did The King of Staten Island.
And I watched that. It has Steve's favorite comedian, Bill Burr, in there.
Funny.
Bill Burr. He's a hobbit. And Pete Davidson.
Also funny.
I'm pretty sure while you do the podcast, he's dating your wife.
Yeah, I think so. He's dating everybody's wife.
Yeah. Okay. That joke's over now, right? It's getting
old.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think when they said he was dating the green M&M, we can call it a day.
All right. Hey. So Milo, played by, of course, Jack Black, he's singing the Tom Jones classic, What's New Pussycat? He's doing Korean. And the children all, they go explore his store. It's a pretty nice store because he said it looks like the Meltdown, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a comic book guy is angry and he's looking through the window there. But then Milo just uses a cardboard standee of Jabba the Hutt to cover him up. And then Milo goes to the store's Guitar Hero and DDR cabinets to play them all simultaneously.
It's impressive because I can barely do one of those. But Lisa, meanwhile, finds the Asterix and Tintin comics, which she assumed only existed in high school French classes. She then peruses an issue of Tintin, in which the titular Tintin and his dog, Snowy, explore a cave looking to save the Belgian ambassador from the Black Orchid Gang. In the comic, there's a rumble, and Tintin hears a sound of ignition. Suta lowers. The castle is actually a four-stage rocket headed to the Pompidou Center. As Lisa flips a page, she accidentally rips it. But Milo tells her that it's okay, not to worry, that these books are meant to be read and enjoyed, not hoarded and then sold when you get a divorce. The children are impressed, but Bart is a little skeptical.
All right, I get it. You're cool. You're not mainstream. You wear a pork pie hat.
Pork pie.
But let's see what you know about superheroes.
Hey, I'm all about the capes. Flame on.
Who's stronger, the Thung or the Mulk? And show your work.
Whoa, head rush. Okay, well, the Mulk kicked a tidal wave into the sun, whereas the Thung gave a piggyback ride to the 1985 Chicago Bears. Whew, boy, that's a tough one. What do you think?
You want to know what I think?
Does Galactus eat planets? Of course I do.
Wow, I was in such a bad relationship with my ex-comic book guy, I'd forgotten how good it could be.
What do we think of the cutaway gag when Bart says pork pie hat, and then we just go to Homer at work and pork pie?
Speaking of superpowers, he's got super hearing.
Right. Well, you know, when Bart was on trial, you know, I know you can hear my thoughts, boy. Meow, true. Meow, meow, meow. But was it too Family Guy?
It kind of felt a little Family Guy-y to me, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, I did chuckle.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny,
but it is
a little, it feels a little bit outside of the Simpsons joke parlance, I feel like.
Right.
But I'm not mad at it.
Like if Homer was there with Bart, it's fine.
Yeah.
Or is this the absurdity?
I just think that they heard the words pork and pie combined, and the writers are like, well, there's no way Homer can't comment on pork pie.
Right.
So, you know, and it would be weird to have him just walking by the comic book store. So they might as well just go for the.
Although I almost think that'd be funnier. Like pork pie and Homer's walking by. Like you see Homer walking by while Bart's doing the whole line and the door's open. And then
that is kind of funny.
Pork pie right in front of the open door. And then Homer just looks in and goes, pork pie, and then walks off.
Yeah, actually, I like that.
Which is still absurd because like Homer just walking around.
Walking down the street.
Yeah. But that maybe that was too much animation.
Yeah.
Hurts their wrist to draw that.
Especially live. So they brought up the Mulk and the, what is it, the Thung?
Yeah.
And obviously they're analogs of the Incredible Hulk and the Thing.
which is weird. Like, why can't they just bring up those characters when they already brought up like Superman, Aquaman, Robin?
Right.
Are they not allowed to say Marvel characters? But then he says Galactus.
I know.
Why couldn't you just say the Hulk and the Thing?
I know. And it's a dumb debate anyway, because the Hulk's clearly stronger than the Thing.
Oh, the Hulk would break that the rock guy up.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the Hulk is like the most... Is he like the strongest character, essentially?
I think he is. There's a lot of debates. And
like brute force, I mean.
Right, brute force, I'd say so, yeah.
Because you can't kill the Hulk.
Right.
Hmm.
Anyway.
No. But then if you think of like the most powerful, it's like Scarlet Witch, maybe.
Right. For a time, Spider-Man was when he had cosmic powers.
I didn't read those ones.
They're fine.
Captain Marvel, she's also up there too.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know this, but I've heard that Santa Claus was very powerful in the Marvel universe at some point.
Santa Claus does exist in the MCU. Well, I mean, I guess the big debate is Thor versus Hulk.
Right.
We are nerds. Let's just leave it at Silver Surfer will kill everybody. Okay, but
there you go.
All right.
I did think it was sweet that Bart was so like abused by his old relationship that he didn't know that he could have it good.
I just remember as like Bart's age, how old is he, 45?
Yeah.
No, but as a kid, I thought it's weird because I was that same way when I was like 10, 11, 12, going to the mm-hmm. comic book store and then discussing comics with adults was kind of weird. And I'm thinking about it now, like if I was an adult and had a comic book store, one, I'm not a big fan of kids.
Well, right.
Just imagine talking comics to kids. I would feel weird.
Yeah.
Like if they'd be like, I think Spider-Man is neat. I don't know what kids say, but
yeah,
I'm like, yeah, no shit, you idiot.
Yeah, look at that. Because we had like a comic book guy, and then didn't we have a Suncoast video guy too?
Okay, yeah. So the comic book store guy by us, he worked at a Suncoast and a comic book store.
Oh, it was the same guy. That's right.
Yeah. And I was like, this guy has the best jobs in the world.
He's the coolest. He must be a billionaire.
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't mind working at Suncoast. Do they still exist? I think they're gone now, finally.
No, but it would be fun.
And honestly, just like organizing like the owners like back issues and bagging and boarding them. That seems kind of fun.
Yeah, that would be, I feel like that'd be rewarding.
Yeah, because then you could like look at the books.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we'll get off comic books. Maybe we'll talk about fitness later. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. So here's some fun stuff here. Marge drops Bart and Lisa off at Coolsville for an artist signing. And it's funny because when she leaves, she tells them to enjoy their funny books.
Mm-hmm.
Such a Marge thing. And then she comes up to a cardboard cutout of Wonder Woman, and she stands behind it to see if she is like a Wonder Woman. But she finds that she's a little wider than Wonder Woman there. Even though it's just a comic book Wonder Woman, it's not Linda Carter or...
Right, it's just a cutout of a comic book character.
A drawing, right.
Right.
Which comic book characters are all out of proportion, which is funny because this is also an animated show. And she makes the point of that she's lost her perfect 26-26-26 figure, which I think is funny. So that's just like a rectangle.
Yeah, I mean, it's like olive oil, just like...
Right. And so she regrets comparing herself to the Wonder Woman standee there. And then the bullies, Dolph, Kearney, and Jumbo, really tell her that she's skinnier than other superheroes, such as Girthquake, Flabberella, and Kearney's mom, who's bloated due to her depression medication. Then Dolph comments that Kearney's mom is depressed because her son is so lame. And then I just think it's funny because then Dolph starts punching Kearney starts punching Dolph. But what's so funny is Jimbo's not really a part of this conversation, but he's just got a smile, starts punching
the air. It's so
a very funny scene. It's a very funny scene.
And also very rude of them just be like, hey lady,
right,
you're fat. I mean, I'm sure they know them, but like to an adult. So Marge decides that she should join a gym before she goes from hippie to hippo. And Kearney laments that he wished that his mom said such cute things. But Dolph once reminds him that Kearney of his mother's depression. And once again, they duke it out. And once again, Jimbo punches along. Inside the comic book, the panel consists of alternative comic creators Alan Moore, the author of Watchmen, among others. Daniel Clowes, who wrote Ghost World, among many other things. And Art Spiegelman, who penned the now controversial, for no good reason, and is being burned, Mouse.
I really identified with the girls in Ghost World. They made me feel like I wasn't so alone.
Yeah, whatever. Do you know anyone who works at Batman? Because I really want to draw Batman. I'm awesome at utility belts. Check these out. This is where the Batman keeps his money. in case he has to take the bus.
Mm-hmm. Alan Moore, you wrote my favorite issues of Radioactive Man.
Oh, really? So you like that I made your favorite superhero a heroin-addicted jazz critic who's not radioactive?
I don't read the words. I just like when he punches people. How do you make his costume stick so close to his muscles? Mr. Moore, will you sign my DVD of Watchmen Babies? Which of the babies is your favorite?
You see what those bloody corporations do? They take your ideas and they suck them. Suck them like leeches until they've gotten every last drop of the marrow from your bones.
Hey, Teacup, why don't you chill out?
Very well. Oh, little Lulu, I love you, Lou, just the same.
The guest stars are very funny, I think.
They are very funny.
Who do I like more? I thought the Daniel Klaus, just an 8-year-old girl. Do you know anyone at Batman? I'd really want to draw Batman.
It's funny that he's two doors down, or two seats down from Alan Moore as well.
Right.
Who's worked Batman.
With, who exactly works with DC. But the Alan Moore, because he's a very outspoken author. And, you know, anything that his work that gets made into a movie or TV show, he just disowns. Like,
right.
So,
yeah.
I had nothing to do with that. So it all sucks. Everything that he's done that's been created for something else, it's horrible to him.
Right. Yeah.
But it's really funny that he agreed to do this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also probably the same time, too. Like, he wasn't as angry as he is now, maybe.
Yeah, because, I mean, at this point, probably maybe V for Vendetta.
Right, which I never saw, and no. I never read.
No.
When he talked about turning Radioactive Man into a heroin-addicted jazz critic. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I also like Milhouse with the V for Vacation.
Right. And then he just reads Little Lulu comics. It's so good.
Also, I love his voice. It's such a good voice.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, Daniel Klaus, too. I love Daniel Klaus's artwork as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I would love to see him do a Batman with really in-depth spec sheets of various Batman stuff. It'd be a lot of fun.
In a world where they just can do anything, I'm surprised they haven't done that. Like, they might have. It kind of sounds more like indie artists' take on
doing mainstream.
Just like as a fun little one-off issue type of thing. But yeah, that would be fun to see a Daniel Klaus. I remember when Ghost World came out, the comic book, and then the movie, because that was such a good book.
Oh, yeah. I revisited it last year. And
the movie or the book?
The book.
Okay.
And through my adult eyes and in the world that we live in, it's one more problematic than I remember, which isn't the author's fault. It's just the character just being what they are.
Right.
And the characters to me are, it's still a great book, but the characters are more unlikable now because they just seem like jerks.
Is it just with the older you get, the more wisdom or more, not wisdom?
I think that as I get older and I find out who I am as a person, I am less needing to prove myself to other people.
Right. That's a good point.
And that a lot of the book is about trying to prove how cool or cool you aren't or are, which is the point of the whole book. So I guess the book's doing a good job. But as a 40-year-old, not virgin.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Last night was fun. Hopefully it'll be a second time.
Did you have to pay by the hour?
Yeah. But, you know, he may change. So that was nice. Anyway, Ghost World's good. Best to read it when you're 19.
Right. That because you're right. That whole age of adolescence to about 26, you try to prove you're cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
37.
That's also true. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the age where you stop caring. I think it's usually when you get your 30s.
Yeah, I think mid-30s for me, at least, was, that's when I stopped caring.
But you know what I haven't read, and I don't know if I'll be allowed to read it, is Mouse. I know that's supposed to be a great book, but I never picked it up. Did you ever read the Art Spiegelman?
No, in my search when I was younger for more alternative comics, I was bad about finding comics. And that one always, was in my periphery, but I never actually read it. And yeah, now, especially given the controversy, it makes me want to read it. So I might have to buy a copy.
It's now it's now one of the highest. I think what I read somewhere else, it was the number two selling book this weekend.
Yeah.
You know how Nazi Germany started, Steve, is burning literature, banning literature.
Yeah. It's funny how on the nose that is.
Welcome to Nazi America.
Just, there's it's no subtlety.
Yeah. you know you're a trash human being when you're wearing a swastika and you're fine with people taking photos of you.
Yeah. And you're burning books.
And I guarantee you those grandparents of those Nazis probably fought Nazis in World War II. So you're disgracing your... You know, I thought like it was simple. Nazis bad. I thought everyone kind of collectively thought that or knows that.
Right. It just seems pretty basic that from Captain America to Indiana Jones, you just fight Nazis because they're always bad. Only good Nazi is a dead Nazi.
Right.
Is that a controversial take now? Am I going to get canceled?
I'm just thinking of the Ezra Miller thing, which is so fucking hilarious. He's like, did you see that the Ezra Miller post?
No.
Ezra Miller, the actor who plays the Flash, or not the on the TV show, but the DC movie Flash. But he did like a post where he was pointing or shouting out to one Ku Klux Klan group, like one chapter, and just straight up told them to like take their guns and pull them on themselves and just kill themselves with their guns. Just straight up telling the KKK to kill themselves.
Oh yeah. And now people are like, Ezra Miller goes on insane rant.
No, he's thinking what a lot of people are thinking.
Yeah. It's okay to be against the KKK.
Yeah. Why are we trying to protect these people?
It's exhausting.
Well, you know what's not exhausting, Steve?
What's that?
Comic book guy. He bursts into the Coolsville store. He's got an announcement. He claims that Milo's an imposter because he's got a girlfriend.
What?
Yeah. And then we meet the girlfriend. Her name's Strawberry. And she's like that typical like manic pixie dream girl that I don't, they just look, you know, would be perfect. Like they look like a couple, right?
Yeah.
She's got that cat eye glasses, ringer tee with a turtle on it. And she... And she's got a purse. So she's like, my lunchbox is a purse.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah. So comic book guy then tries to lure his old customers back by with an odd procedure with selling ninja weapons. He opens his trench coat to reveal an array of katanas, nunchucks, and throwing stars. Milo is appalled that he would sell weapons of the Orient to children, calling it weak.
Is saying weapons of the Orient okay?
I don't know, because people still commonly refer to rugs made in Asia as Oriental rugs, and is that problematic? And I'm not like, I don't have any stance on it, I just don't know, because I was wondering that too, if that was problematic.
I don't know, I'm the wrong person to ask.
Yeah, me too.
All right,
so if it is, we acknowledge that. So Bart declares that Milo is the comic book guy that Springfield deserves. Jeff Albertson, though, responds by pulling one of his swords and attacking the store. He takes a swipe at the display cases, decapitates some baseball bobbleheads, and throws some random comics into the air. So there was a store in LA called Toy Mandala that was near Meltdown, and they actually did sell ninja weapons, but only to adults.
It reminds me of the, you know, when you go to the mall. I mean, you remember malls, right?
Yeah.
Remember like the Excalibur store? I think every mall had one where it was just like swords and ninja stars and...
And then like...
cars.
Yeah, and jade figurines of knights.
Yeah. But it was like, as kids, like we still had to just go into that store all the time, like wanting everything.
Yeah.
I just wanted a giant sword.
That was like $800.
I still want the giant swords.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, so seeing that Coolsville may be in peril, Alan Moore, Art Spiegelman, Daniel Clouds all rip off their shorts. Shirts. It'd be a very different episode if they ripped off their shorts. But they rip off their shirts. They're all like the jacked superhero bodies, which I think is hilarious
for a cartoonist to be fit.
Right Very much akin to when, you know, Willie whips off his shirt.
Yeah,
they say the League of Extraordinary Freelancers activate, which the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was an Alan Moore comic.
Exactly.
Yeah. To make that so then Spiegelman dons the band mouse mask. But he says mouse is in the house, and then the authors then kick comic book guy's ass, causing him to land a pile of used Jughead hats. Why does he have a used Jughead hat?
I don't know.
What were they doing?
I mean, they're probably very popular today with the CW show, but. And so there's a fun bit of stuff, because when they're beating him up, there's like some pow and some onomatopoeia, which is a reference to the 60s Batman. And they're playing Stars and Stripes Forever, which is often what they would play when Popeye would beat up Bluto.
Do you think in the age of reboots and remakes, we'll ever get another live action Popeye?
Maybe.
When's the last time you watched the Popeye movie?
It has been probably 25, no, it's been 30 years.
I might have to go back and watch that again.
Yeah, I remember my brother made me a videotape that had Sesame Street's Follow That Bird, the Popeye movie, and then just random stuff from the Disney Channel from the 80s when I was a kid because I didn't have cable.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah, it was nice. And I remember watching a lot of Follow That Bird, and I don't remember liking Popeye when I was a kid because it seemed serious, even though it's not.
Yeah, it was weird.
It just, yeah, it's like I didn't know as a kid, like, who is this for?
Yeah. Who directed that? Was it
Altman?
Yeah, Altman. Who would you cast as the new Popeye? I'll go with Brie Larson.
Ooh, I like that. Nicole Byer.
I love that dick. And olive oil will be Lauren Lapkus.
Oh, that's the show.
Bluto will be Paul F. Tompkins. Popeye will be Scott Aukerman.
Yep. Be a fun show.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, meanwhile, Marge finds the LA Body Works gym. And impressed with its possible relationship to the city in California, Marge may have found the workout spot made for her. Inside, an instructor shows Marge around. There's a tummy tone with Sasha, power bounce with Zach D, Zen abs with Zach G, and of course, Mommy and Me kickboxing, which features mothers sparring with their children, one child giving his mother an impressive roundhouse kick to the face.
Were you kind of hoping that you saw some of the moms like kicking the kids?
Yes.
I mean, it's implied that that's happening. I think it's
funny. But it would have been funny.
Is Marge's outfit an homage to the Jamie Lee Curtis outfit from it's the one with
the horny movie with John Travolta?
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I think it's called The Horny Movie with John Travolta.
Right.
Also known as Look Who's Talking 3.
Now the toaster talks.
Wait, is everyone from the Look Who's Talking franchise crazy? Except for maybe, I think, yeah.
Yeah,
I think he might be the most sane one. Because you got Kirstie Alley, Roseanne Barr did a voice.
It's true.
Bruce Willis is a dick, not crazy.
Yeah.
Wasn't Danny DeVito in one of them?
Yeah, I think he played a dog.
Oh, because it was like the third one was like the pets, wasn't it?
Right, Look Who's Talking Now.
I think I probably liked those movies as a kid, but I don't think I could stomach those as an adult.
No, they sound unwatchable. I got Abe Vigoda.
Fish? Was he? He was probably a talking fish.
Yeah. If he's not, I think he's listed as grandpa, but yeah, they're missing out there. Gilbert Gottfried. Oh, Mel Brooks played Mr. Toilet Man.
Was this the third movie?
That's the second one. Let's see. In the third one, we have Danny DeVito playing a character named Rox, Diane Keaton playing a dog named Daphne, and Charles Barkley as Charles Barkley.
That must be a dog.
Yeah.
It's Barkley. I don't think I'm going to rewatch those movies, Steve.
I think we're probably okay with that. Yeah. I think,
all right.
Yeah.
So we'll skip it, Steve.
All right.
We won't do an IHOP Springfield. Our hit.
I haven't seen.
Our hit second podcast. It was the last episode we did 2 years ago now.
Yeah. Star Wars Upper Decker.
No, I think it was Animaniacs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So Marge takes to the treadmill, but struggles to keep up with the machine speed and the various inclines. She assumes probably the others are having some issues, but then she looks over and we get, what was there, Duffman, Cookie Kwan, Rainiel Wolfcastle, and Miss Springfield. They're dancing from one treadmill to the other. It's a parody of the OK Goes, Here Goes Again. Yeah. It was a fun music video.
Yeah, it was at that time, like, I feel like the art of music videos was kind of dying out. And OK Go was one of the few bands to keep it going.
Do they always do like fun? I feel like they always do fun videos.
Yeah, they did a lot of like one take videos that were videos that were big stunts. Or
did they do one like in Zero Gravity?
I think they may have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really don't know anything about their music. I mean, I know that song, but I don't know if I like their music, but their music videos were always a lot of fun to watch.
Right. I think the only reason I know that Here It Goes Again stuck in my head is not from the video, but I think it was in one of the NHL games from the past couple of years ago. And it was just like in the credit, like in the opening, you know, when you're choosing whatever to play, but you'd always hear that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems like a good song for a sports video.
Yeah.
So feeling defeated, Marge decides to hit the showers. But as she bathes, she sees that there's a crowd of people that can see her. Sideshow Mel points out that she missed a spot while Ralph, Principal Skinner, and the Lovejoys watch. So Marge sadly leaves the LA Body Works, wishing that there was a gym for regular ladies such as herself. She then looks across the street and sees the closed Androids dungeon in the window. But there's a sign parodying the Amazing Spider-Man number 50. But instead of the web-slinger saying that he will no longer be in the superhero game, it's comic book guy himself informing them that the place is available for rent. Marge can see it now. The grand opening of Shapes, a gym for women.
Why are the windows for the shower? That scene just doesn't make sense to me. No. I know it's a cartoon.
Right.
Is it outside the building and the windows you can see into the showers?
I don't know. It's weird. Also, Sideshow Mel says that she missed a spot. Is Marge just really dirty, or... What spot did she miss that he noticed?
I feel like this episode verges on kind of being a horny episode, too.
It is. There's a lot of body stuff. Like,
right. It's interesting because it starts off with the comic book stuff, and then now we're down with comic books, and now we're going to talk about body issues.
Right.
Interesting. It's, yeah. We'll talk about it later, but it's fun. Yeah. It's interesting. Just of the course. How they mapped.
Yeah.
How they mapped doing this entire episode of like where it starts and then like how they got from A to B. Or, yeah, you know, and this is a weird ride.
Yeah. The third act. Well, we'll get there, but yeah. It's interesting.
This is a roller coaster of an episode. That's what I'll say.
That's true. Yeah. And of course, Shapes is a parody of Curves, a women-only gym, which opened in 1992 by Gary and Diane Heaven. And as of 2019, there were 367 locations nationwide, though many of them have closed either permanently or temporarily due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
All right. Well, Marge has created her gym. She's got an assortment of exercise equipment there in a circle. And then on the wall, she has a I Am Woman, Hear Me Sweat, like a little poster there. And then she posts the rules of the gym, which is no men, no cell phones, no mirrors, no shame, which is also what's posted on Steve's bathroom door.
Yep. What I want when I masturbate.
So Homer wonders why women would want to go to a gym with no men watching and judging them. But he opens the door to see a line down the block. It's all the women of Springfield are there. And then Homer goes and has a little change of heart. And I think from there, the gym will be a success.
We're gonna be rich! We can finally start a family!
We have a family!
A better one!
Switch stations!
I love this gym!
Me too!
Finally, an exercise bike for women of a certain age! Jurassic!
Mom, every workout appointment is booked up for months. We'll have to open a second Shapes. We just need to find a vacant rental property.
I can't believe the labor board is shutting me down.
You lock your workers in at night.
It's so they can't tell their stories.
Mr. Krusty came to my village. He said he would marry me. No ring. Just fill apple pies all day.
Okay, so if Weapons of the Orient isn't problematic, that is.
Kind of also implying sex trafficking.
Yeah, but that is a reference to Walmart's practices in 2004.
Wait, they were locking people in?
Yeah.
What? I don't remember that.
Yeah, they would lock people in, and I don't think it was... I think they were just using extreme labor practices rather than, you know, keeping any secrets, but Walmart's a bad company.
I do like the Agnes Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Like making that joke for a woman of a certain age, Jurassic, and just like making fun of herself. I don't know. It's funny.
And then she does the Phyllis Diller laugh with a cigarette.
Yeah. Hand. Oh, is that what they're going for? Is a Phyllis Diller type joke?
I think so.
Okay. That was before my time, Steve.
Ah, well, I remember back in December of 1981 when I watched a rerun of a Dean Martin roast.
You're a lot older than me, so.
Yeah, I know. So over an ever-rising line graph, we see the November cover of Successful Magazine. And I didn't realize that this is not the first time that we've had Successful Magazine. I didn't realize it was a running gag. But it features Marge and the headline, Jim Dandy, Jim being spelled in the GYM fashion. We then see the December issue of Fortunate Magazine, which shows Marge reading the November issue of Successful Magazine with the headline, Jim Class being with $2 signs for S's. And next is Rupert Murdoch's Wall Street Journal, which offers the headline, Republican Tax Cuts, Let Marge Simpson Succeed. And so Marge's success lands her on a spot on the Opal show.
Today's guest created the women's only gym that's taking the Tri-County area by storm, Marge Simpson!
Marge, I thank you for creating Shapes. And my boyfriend thanks you, too. Ooh.
When is Straightman gonna pop the question?
You're all getting German cuckoo clocks! You're getting a cuckoo clock! And you're getting a cuckoo clock! And you're getting a cuckoo clock! And you're getting a cuckoo clock!
Do you want a cuckoo clock, Steve?
Not really.
I feel like the Stedman, Straitman joke, they play that one too much, don't they?
Yeah. This was during the height of Oprah's power.
She lost her power now?
I mean, she still has power, but this is when she was like on, you know, daytime TV in the afternoon, when she was like had Tom Cruise and was giving away cars and really had her moment. She had her magazine. And yeah, I think that the Stedman Straitman thing is kind of played out even at this time.
But are they still together? Stedman and Oprah?
I think so. Is Oprah single? Can I date her? Yes, Stedman Graham and her have been together since 1986. So yeah.
All right. Guys, you don't have to be married to be in a relationship. Just look at Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. They're not married and they've been together for 55 years.
There you go.
Look at that guy over there.
Yeah, he's not married.
Yeah. He's just setting fire to your trash can, Steve.
Oh no, I gotta put that up. I do like that in that there's a woman who throws her baby.
It's so funny.
So she can catch a cuckoo clock and then she hugs it. That was very funny.
It's one of my favorite visual gags.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, Marge and Homer head to Palm Springfield Resort. Didn't know there was a Palm Springfield. It's got a sign that says, welcoming lady business ladies. That's kind of funny, too. And Homer he's saying that he loves these business trips. And he's surprised because the remote's not nailed down. Because he's never stayed in a hotel that trusts him enough to not have a nailed down remote, which is funny. Because then, as he's saying that, he takes the remote and puts it in his luggage.
Yeah.
What's it going to do? You can't do anything with a remote.
No.
Unless it's a universal one.
Yeah, but still, you got to program it and
got to find the codes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now Homer's at the pool with some dessert, like a sundae, which is probably not Marge's. So he finally gets to taste a real good sundae.
That's right.
And then some shrimp cocktail. And then he meets a bunch of buff guys who are also married to some successful business ladies.
Hors d'oeuvres, big fancy desserts, and my wife is paying for everything. Now I know why pimps are so happy.
Yep, nothing beats living on wife support.
Oh, I hear that.
Yo, guys, come meet a new husband.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Homer. My wife invented a gym for regular women.
Ooh. My wife invented Sky Pills. She mixed vitamins with Alka-Seltzer and pretended it was medicine.
I paid $10 a tube for those.
That's why I drive a Bentley.
Yep, I haven't decided what kind of new car to get.
Well, you better decide soon, because I have a feeling your wife will also be getting a new model.
Yeah, she'll be trading up.
And they're not talking about cars.
Are you sure they're not talking about cars? Because those are car words.
Homer, we're all second husbands. As soon as our wives hit it big, they dumped the fat old guys they were with and married us.
Yes. Marge won't dump me. I'm the anchor that keeps her weight down.
A lot of funny in that clip. I like, but those are car words. I do have to say that one of the punks is played by Maurice LaMarche, who is like one of the best voice actors of the time. You know, he does Pinky and so many other things. It's a weird role for his voice to be a stud. Maybe.
See, you were just staring at the guy with the
thong,
the prominent bulge.
Yeah, that's right.
And now I know what you're going to get for your product from this episode.
That bulge.
So the buff hubbies there explain how the progression usually goes. He says the wife gets a total makeover and starts wearing fancy new clothes. Then she stops wanting to tell you about her day. And the sign that your wife really wants to go is she seems happy and full of her life. And Homer yells out that it will never happen and then runs to his wife. And in the room, he finds Marge is sporting this fancy new suit. And he examines his note to see that this is the first warning sign, new clothes. And the prophecy has been fulfilled. And then he sees the next sign that his wife doesn't want to talk. And then he tests his waters.
So tell me about your day.
Oh, you don't want to hear about my boring old day.
I do.
Well, the first inspirational speech of the day was by the woman who climbed Mount Everest and got everyone else killed.
Hey, the networks are different channels in this city.
It's okay. I don't care that you don't care. Go watch your thing.
Are you happy and full of life?
I sure am.
Besides, like, body insecurities, it's insecurities of...
Right. Homer's, like, worried about, is Margie leaving him? Not enough to pay attention to her for 5 seconds, but still. I also like that inspiring tale of that woman who climbed Mount Everest and got everybody else killed. So Homer sobs and packs his notebook into his suitcase, and then the resort's robe, the lamp, the coffee maker, and the alarm clock also go into a suitcase.
Isn't that one of those expensive boys, like $400 radios, though?
Yeah, it is. I remember those.
Do they still make those?
I gotta assume they do. I just remember seeing them because I was such a cool kid or adult in 2005. I remember seeing them advertised prominently in Parade magazine in the Sunday newspaper.
Because they were big in the late 80s. Like,
yeah.
I mean, if they sell them now, they have to be like Bluetooth, right?
Right. I got to assume.
Like you could plug your actual or put your phone and not listen to Spotify.
That's right. Who's a creator of this podcast?
Oh, right. They own us.
Yeah.
Well, Neil Young was wanting to get rid of us, too.
Yeah. I got a heart of gold, but these guys suck.
And Joni Mitchell was like, fuck those guys.
Yeah.
Pieces of shit. I'm going to pave over their podcast.
Yeah.
Put a fucking parking lot. And Joni Mitchell was a real jerk to us.
Yeah. She's such a jerk.
Meanest person to us.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, Neil Young just like pulled down his pants and said, here's my harvest moon.
And he used a derogatory term, called us the F words, which you would call a gay person. Did you see that now that people are looking up old Neil Young articles? Oh, God. About him talking about the AIDS pandemic in 85. I'll let you guys look it up. I don't want to say, want to quote him.
Yeah, that's probably for the best. So Marge is meeting with the fellow businesswomen who are successful. And one recommends that Marge should use her newfound wealth to get rid of her old purse. The ladies have a lot of ideas as what kind of bag Marge should get. And Homer steps in the middle of the conversation and might be a little confused.
Marge, now that you're rich, you really should get rid of that bag.
Really? But I'm so used to my old one.
Old one? They're convincing Marge to dump me.
Oh, it's easy. I get a new one every 2 years from Italy.
You would love a big black one.
Oh.
Marge, get away from them.
What's gotten into you? I'm going to the successful ladies' room.
You guys gotta help me. If Marge leaves, I'll have nothing except my many friends and half the fortune she is now making and will continue to make.
Homer, I'm gonna let you in on a secret. I'm a first husband. I used to look like this.
Huh? What's your secret?
Well, there's no secret. Just hard work.
Uh-huh.
Exercise 2 hours a day.
Okay.
Keep up with the latest fashions.
Fashions.
And of course, cut out all the fatty foods and alcohol.
Uh-huh. Got it. I know just what it'll take to hang on to Marge.
Homer's drawing. So weird. Like, he gave himself, like the overbite.
That's true.
Bigger now. And
he's oddly self-aware of what he looks like.
Yeah.
But also, yeah.
And not taking the actual advice, which is good advice.
Right.
Except for when I'm like the 2 hours a day, I'm like, fine, I could do that. But once you get rid of beer and...
Yeah, fatty foods,
I'm like, no, I'm out.
I did like the purse joke. I thought that was fun.
There's like two penis jokes in this episode.
One,
the big black, because you know, obviously this is whole, yeah. And then Bart does a penis joke later.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
And Steve just loves looking at that guy's junk. He has it paused on his like screen cap right now on his monitor. I'm looking over. He has it there.
It's actually burned on the screen. I was taking notes. I just had that on there. And
And he's circling with the mouse cursor, just the crotch, just circling around it.
Yeah.
So you can pay attention to the urine notes, not his junk. Thanks.
Sorry. That's a good vein.
Yeah. A good vein. Anyways, Homer. So we're talking about that drawing, right?
Yeah.
And then so next to that drawing, he writes the words, get stomach stapled. The third act begins, as it always does, at the plastic surgery center, which advertises that it's correcting God's mistakes. Pretty good. Inside, the doctor there outlines the gastric bypass surgery procedure. And then we get this graphic of an obese guy with a lap band around his stomach. And he goes on to say how no solid foods may enter. And then like a video shows a burger, a chicken drumstick, a ham, a fish, an ice cream, a pretzel, and then just an entire cow trying to go down the throat. The cow bit's the best part at the end.
Yeah.
But it can't go down. It's stopped by the band. So he describes the procedure as very serious and only to be done as a last resort. And this is Homer's last resort.
Please, Doc, I know I'm not the greatest looking guy in the world, but I took care of my family and that used to be enough, but not anymore.
Very well.
If you wish, we can perform the procedure in the office today.
And I know how I can knock myself out. Oh, look at your bill. I guess considering all the training you received, this is quite reasonable. I've never seen anything so reasonable! It's the bargain of a lifetime!
A fun joke. It's a twist on what you expect. That's comedy for you.
Thanks, Captain Comedy.
You're welcome. Back at the dinner table, Homer, Bart, and Lisa are at the kitchen table enjoying pizza. Lisa is concerned about Homer. She can see food on his plate rather than the usual blurring motions. Homer tells his children that he underwent a special procedure so that he can be more attractive to their mother. Bart assumes that Homer had his hot dog pumped. There's that penis joke. But Homer retorts that he had his stomach stapled. He then uses a knife and fork to cut up a tiny portion of pizza. He then puts the pizza in a blender, pulses it once, then twice, then a third time, then a fourth extra long time. He then pours the mixture into the glass, drinks it, and then woefully wonders why that all of his food now tastes like barf.
That was a very barfy scene.
Yes.
And the sound effects sound pretty good. Sound like an actual, like, that sounds like everyone's blender. I like that.
I know. And
I
like
why I'm praising it, but.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Like, it sounds exactly like a blender that nobody ever bought, but you always have in your house.
Yep.
And yeah.
All right. Well, later that evening, Marge arrives home from the trip and she walks in the bedroom and two roses, champagne chilling and a romantic music playing. And Homer welcomes Marge. She's got something to say.
Welcome home, Marge.
You remembered I like romance.
A smart, successful woman like you deserves the very best.
You also remembered I like flattery.
Do you like guys who are attractive?
Homie, you look good.
All for you, baby.
Let me get a good look at you.
Whoa, slow down, sexy beast. Why don't you take some time to savor the front?
What are you hiding from me? Is it chocolate?
It used to be.
Whoa, those buns are popping fresh.
Yeah, I'm going to turn off the lights now.
And I'll just fold this old sweaty blanket and put it in the closet.
Ow. Doctor, I'm embarrassed to show my body to my wife, and it's all because of your surgery.
You want me to unstaple your stomach?
No, I want you to give me every other surgery you have so I can look good. And can you call it an aortic valve replacement so my insurance will cover it?
No problem.
Hey, this is the scene with Homer and his skin. That's a meme.
It is a meme.
You know, it's where you write on the Homer side, like,
facing the day. And then the other side is like how I actually feel.
Right, right.
Or something better than that. But yeah, it's pretty gross.
Are you body shaming Homer?
No. Okay. I would never. I do like guys who are attractive. That's going to be a sound clip. I know it. Just the all the yeah,
it's kids and vodka.
Interesting animation, I think.
I like how the doctor he's gonna give him another surgery that one he needs.
I like how, like, you know, I think that doctor, like, plastic surgeons get portrayed as like kind of creepy, lecherous people, or like just in it for the money.
Right. He kind of looks it.
He does look it, but he's actually very helpful. I mean, he's consulting so Homer can get a surgery, and he's, you know,
trying to talk him not to get it too originally.
Exactly, and evidently very reasonably priced as well. So,
and he doesn't violate his hippopotamus oath.
That's right. He keeps those marbles in his mouth the whole time. What do you think about the giant staple remover?
It's dumb but good.
Yeah, exactly. It's a goofy joke, but
like removing your staple. Yeah, because I think if you're a kid and you hear like, oh, I got my stomach stapled, you think,
right, you imagine
a
like
giant staple.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course to get rid of it, there you go. All right, so Homer's gonna get the mega surgery, right?
Yeah,
can't wait to see what it looks like. So a really funny joke, the doctor asks Homer to count backwards. He just says, okay, I admit it, I'm drunk. As if he was pulled over. I think that was great.
Yeah.
He's given the gas and he passes out. So I guess we'll wake up and he'll be a new man, right?
Yep. Although I do got to say, as ethical as that doctor is, if he is drunk, he really shouldn't be given this gas.
I don't think you're supposed to be drunk before surgery.
Yeah.
That goes for the patient and the doctor.
It's true. is why I'm no longer a surgeon. In front of Shapes, Mayor Quimby congratulates Marge on her recent success by giving her a $100 gift card to Sweatpants, etc. But as Marge receives the card, Homer appears, asking if someone ordered a super stud. He then rips off his hat and trench coat. A lot of trench coats in this episode, too.
Yeah.
To reveal his new body. Jet black hair plugs, newly shaped eyes, giant pecs with pink protruding nipples, weird-looking abs, and muscly legs that are on either side of his purple thong. He complains that his implants feel itchy, and the plastic surgeon explains that he was out of silicone rubber, so he opted for rolled-up socks instead. The townspeople, though, don't respond well to Homer's new look.
He's a monster! Pitchforks, everyone!
Monster! 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 Monster!
Cut his heart out!
Yeah, I find the Homer characters are very disturbing.
It is, like, horrifying to me.
It's the whole face, the nipples.
Yeah.
Especially when the socks come out.
Ugh. Like, I'm not, like, even disgusted. I just feel oogie. Like, the idea of having socks inside of your body sounds unpleasant.
Yeah. Are you talking about the Bill Clinton's cat from the 90s?
Exactly. I don't want that in any of my cavities. Now, socks.
Don't you tell anyone what I've been doing behind these doors.
Yeah. Well, that won't be the only pussy I'm eating.
Now off to Epstein Island.
Whee!
So Homer's carrying Marge. We get like a Hunchback of Notre Dame type of thing going on here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd's chanting, "Different from us." And then Homer takes Marge up to the tower. And Marge tells Homer she wants to be honest with him. And he hopes that it doesn't make him cry because he doesn't know where his tear ducts are anymore. I think we'll know what happens, Steve, if he cries.
Yeah. You can
only guess. So Marge offers some shocking truth. She's way too successful for Homer now. She's getting a trophy husband. And then Homer cries and the tears start coming off his nipples. Then he says he doesn't want to live without Marge, to which he replies, "Okay," and pushes him over the ledge. And as Homer's about to fall to his death, he actually awakes from the hospital bed with his family around him. Steve, it was all a dream.
Oh.
Did you think this was real?
I thought the nipples were real.
Now that's a sound clip. I think it's funny that in Homer's dream fantasy, the best Marge can do is get a $100 gift card
to a sweatpants store.
Yeah. And his creativity of thinking like, oh no, what if the doctor's out of silicone? What would he use? Probably socks.
Uh-huh.
Just thinking of this, his dream.
It's an impressive dream because it is. There's a lot of like creative options that he did, like the socks or treating himself like a Hunchback of Notre Dame to take her to the top of the tower.
And then we've all had that dream too of your fears and insecurities of someone that you care about doing this. You're like, yeah, yeah. No, I don't like you. Okay.
Yeah. And just being so nonchalant about their indifference towards you.
Fun dream.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll dream about it later.
Perhaps.
Why do I look like me again?
The doctor called me about all the crazy surgeries you wanted, and I said no. But I did have him unstaple your stomach and turn you back into the sweet man I love.
It was all a dream? I never became a hideous monster?
The only person who thinks you're a monster is the one who had to give you a sponge bath.
And Dad, I hope you learned something from this.
I sure have. Plastic surgery is a mistake because it hasn't been perfected to where you look really good. When it is, everyone should get it.
Amen.
Listen, Marge, I've been wondering all these years, what is it about me that you find so irresistible? Let's face it, you could do better.
Well, maybe I could, but every time I look at you, I see the same adorable boy I fell in love with.
Oh.
Well, there's nothing like a happy ending.
Holy heavens! Is that a meteor heading for the Earth?
Maybe. But tonight, there's a benefit for underpaid comic book artists of the 40s and 50s.
To the cash bar!
And as a meteor hurls towards Springfield, that's their episode.
So everyone's dead?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, but we're still here?
Sadly, yeah.
All right.
Should we take a break and then return to talk about husbands and knives?
I suppose we could.
Oh, because he goes under surgery. That's why it's knives. I get it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Homer's a husband to Marge.
Right, yeah.
And is a word that connects husband and knives.
Right, right. It puts it together like a conjunction. Okay. This makes...
Conjunction, this... junction. What's your function?
Hooking up words and making them sound right. Huh. We'll be right back.
I'm young pushycat. Whoa.
cat, pushy cat, nan go do it go ham, gay hai she got do, manani, nonga so gay you won me gurum gum yo ba. Pushy cat, sarong hair, jong ma lo, no one no ye.
Alrighty, Craig, we're back. Let's finish up our discussion of husbands and knives. We'll talk about the things that made us laugh, what we might want on some t-shirts or tattoos or some sort of media, maybe our MVJ, what we thought of the episode, and what we're watching next week. Shall we do that?
Yes, let's begin.
Okay, we begin with what do you want on media? What do you want on a t-shirt? What do you want on a tattoo? What do you want on your face?
I know this is a, we've made jokes about getting some from like the actual couch gag. I want a Simpsons pop-up book now.
That'd be great, yeah.
They should do a Simpsons pop-up book of steamed hams. It tells the story of steamed hams. In pop-up.
I could definitely see that. Like you pop up in the, he turns up the oven and smoke pops up. And yeah.
Just the entire segment, steamed hams pop-up book.
That would sell so well.
This is a $40 idea. Steve, let's get it done.
Yeah. Let's. They could sell it at like Urban Outfitters.
Jesus, you have to get a loan. Better off buying that arcade machine that's $500 to be cheaper. True. Urban Outfitters.
Yeah.
Okay, but from the actual episode, okay, let's see here. You know, you could do Homer's famous Homer's drawing of himself as a muscle man. You know, I do like a good comic book cover parody, and I like the Android's Dungeon parody of Spider-Man 50 of him, you know, losing his business.
Yeah,
I just want that as a poster.
No more. That's a good poster. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that as a poster. Put it in my wall. Get a black light on it or something. I don't know. Listen to the Doobie Brothers and smoke some reefer with my cousins. I
don't know. Sounds good.
Trying to like make it like the 70s.
Yeah, man.
Man.
Just hanging out. You got the 8-track playing.
Yeah. Eat a pizza with licorice on it. Isn't that what that movie's about?
I assume so, yes.
Eating pizza with licorice and set in the 70s.
Yeah. And you fall in love, and the runtime's probably like 2 hours, 40 minutes.
Yeah. All right. Enough of licorice pizza, which is a movie we haven't seen yet. Yeah. What about you?
That's a good question. I do like all the fake comics. I think I like the death of Casper.
That's
I wouldn't mind that on a shirt.
Oh, wait, what about the like Klaus and Moore and Spiegelman? Like,
Yeah.
The League of Extraordinary, but with them just without their shirts on.
That would also be good.
Superhero pose. That'd be good. That'd be a good t-shirt.
Yeah, actually. But I think that the one that I'm going to go with as my t-shirt is the depiction of gastric bypass surgery. With the figure and the cow and the pretzel and the ice cream cone. That's going to be my t-shirt. No context, no words, just the graphic of the obese figure getting stuffed with food.
I think we can get away with that.
I think
selling it. There's no. All right, Steve, we haven't sold anything in a long time. Let's created anything new in a long time. Mostly because, yeah, exactly. Stole. what's next? Our favorite jokes, gags. Yeah. I said it before, I think the bullies bullying Marge is pretty funny, but not bullying her, but with the your mom jokes, which is so much of this perfect. And just like the visual of Jimbo, like watching the fight, but like fighting the air. But because like he's like, yeah, like, I don't know, just really he's funny just to me.
So full of teen angst that he just wants to punch something.
But he's got a smile on his face watching his friends punch each other. Mm-hmm. Also, another violent one where the lady in the audience of the Opal show throws the baby to catch the food clock.
Yeah. Even the mommy and me kickboxing class was kind of funny.
And when the doctor asks, I need you to count backwards from 10. All right, I admit it. I'm drunk.
Yeah,
that joke just caught me off guard and was funny. That might be my favorite joke.
Yeah, I agree. I think that my favorite joke is going to be the cuckoo clock baby thing. But I do have to give it up to the guest stars of this episode, particularly the comic book guys, comic book men, if you will. But they just did a really good job. They had a lot of fun with it. And, you know, sometimes they'll have people who aren't inherently actors guest on the show. And sometimes their readings are really dry or not very good. They seemed a little phoned in, but I didn't really like the performances of all three men, particularly Alan Moore. I thought that he is I don't know why, but him singing the Little Lulu song brought me a lot of joy.
I forgot. Yeah, that's great too.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll switch. They're my MJs. Okay. I also, you know, Marge has some good line. I liked Homer's dream of Marge when she's like, okay, I don't need you to push this off.
Yeah. Just kind of indifferent pushing, like, okay.
Right. And she refers to the, when leaving Bart, at least to the comic book story, saying, enjoy your funny books.
Yeah. And going from hippie to hippo is such a funny Marge joke to say to herself.
All right. Well, should we just get into it?
Yeah. What were your final thoughts on this episode?
I'm trying to think that when this episode aired, probably seemed like at that time when The Simpsons, like, there was always like five guest stars, like every episode in this time period, and getting probably like not annoyed with it, but indifferent.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Jack Black on all new Simpsons. But I think you're right. It's more fun for the comic book writers, because that's such a, you would never, that's what's so great about The Simpsons, is like they have like a lot of authors or like scientists on as a voice, which in no other TV show would do that.
Yeah.
And so it's great to see showcase these, you know, comic book creators. So I think I talked about it in the episode where the road taken for this story is just bonkers. It's it's a roller coaster. The thought process of writing this story, it just intrigues me, because you go from like, what's the initial pitch? Is it Marge opens a gym? Okay, that's the story. And then, you know, figuring out, well, how does she get the gym? And then coming up with, well, what if comic book guy loses his store? It goes out of business. Okay. Yeah. And then she takes that. It's just such a weird, like,
yeah.
It's one of those, like, you know, we've talked about before how the Simpsons do an A story and a B story. And in the end, they might meet, but most likely it doesn't, right? It's fine.
Yeah.
And then there's the weird Simpsons ones like this, where it starts off, you're thinking this one thing, and they take a different turn, and now it's this. Like, it's all about the comics in the beginning, and then you're thinking, like, okay, so is this going to be a whole episode where you think, well, this is going to be how comic book guy gets his patrons back, like how he's going to win his old customers back. So that's where you think this episode is going to go.
Right.
But no. It goes to the gym stuff, which, again, it's entirely like two episodes.
Yeah.
In one. And also has like those weird, like, you know how when you're a kid and they establish something, and then they usually, it's something like they get money or a new job. Usually by the end of it, things are back to normal. That money's not there. That job's not there.
Right.
This is a weird one where... So are we on the assumption that Marge still owns these
gyms? Two gyms and maybe more?
Because there was no, like, nothing bad happened to her gyms.
Right.
She was still
continuing to be successful.
Right. So is this going to continue?
And then also,
is comic book store guy, like, or, you know,
right,
Android Dungeon, is that supposed to be done now too?
Right. Because if Marge's gym continues to thrive, which it seems to be doing, then yeah. Comic book guy doesn't have a location anymore.
Is this the final episode of the Simpsons storyline?
Could be.
Like, and it's weird how, like, this episode takes from, like, Marge come with a great idea, and, you know, sticking with it, but it just, like, turns into Homer's story.
Yeah.
Of him being insecure.
Yeah, it does become an episode about women empowerment and becoming successful through a great idea that helps other women, and Homer turns it into
it's about him now,
right?
Whereas, like, and it's, I think they kind of clearly get that through to the audience, because, you know, Marge isn't gonna, there is no signs Marge would be leaving Homer, because this wasn't never about Homer, or, you know, it's about her finding something that she enjoys doing and helping other people.
I think this is still kind of in the time too of not necessarily jerk-ass Homer, but really self-involved Homer, so he had to make it about himself,
right?
Yeah.
But again, there's some fun stuff with this, and I think it was originally trying to say, it was like, I think when this episode came out, I probably would have poo-pooed it. And I think if you watch seasons in order as they aired, I could see this being annoying. But the way we do the podcast, it's great, because we're jumping throughout the history of The Simpsons. So every iteration now is kind of being represented. And I think it's kind of fun. And this episode has that for, I mean, as a nerd, I love the comic book. I mean, this episode is worth watching just for Alan Moore and him singing the Lulu. And there's some stuff from this episode that's in the pop culture. Like, there's the Homer with the staple memes.
Mm-hmm.
Those ones. It's yeah, I enjoyed this episode.
Yeah.
Probably when I originally watched it, it probably was not as good as I see it now.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's a lot of fun. But again, there's also some weird questions. Mm-hmm. If you like really, really want to be a nerd about it.
Yeah.
With like, so shouldn't they have exactly, shouldn't it be the, you know, have all those gyms still? And it's a very short episode too.
Yeah, it's true.
Because you had a very long, yeah, the actual intro
music.
So yeah, I think that's my only complaints is you know, it's almost like I would put this episode in a Treehouse of Horror universe.
Like it's non-canonical.
Right. Because many things happen in this episode that are never addressed again.
Yeah.
I'm assuming like, will they ever bring up that Marge owned? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if like we're watching an episode like 2 months down the line and she references having her own line of gyms.
Right. Oh, I have FXX likes to do theme marathons. Mm-hmm. So they were doing like music, like bands that were guest stars on an episode. And they were showing the one with when they have to move Springfield. With The Who.
Yeah.
And so they show that episode. And I forgot, like they did the joke of they moved the entire town because the old Springfield was just covered in trash.
Right.
And it was so weird because I was thinking after that episode ended where they moved the town. And like, I remember that joke. They don't ever reference that again, do they? And it's so weird because these episodes are seasons apart. The next episode, it starts off with Lisa even making a comment because they were going to blowing up the Monty Burns casino. Uh-huh. Which is another fun callback, so that stay there. So they went to blow it up and the Simpsons went there to watch it. And then Lisa says, I don't even know why we moved this building when we moved the entire town. And I just thought the connection was so weird.
Yeah, yeah.
That one episode after the other, which of course they took years apart.
Right.
That like, oh my God, that's so is this like literally the next day? Anyways,
that's really funny. Yeah.
Got that fun, that tangent. Back to this episode, sorry. It's a middle of the road episode for me, but I think the highlights are because of Alan Moore and the rest. Klaus and Spielberg.
Spiegelman. I agree. So if you had to give this a rating.
Well, they mentioned World's Finest 94.
Mm-hmm.
That run of World's Finest Comics went for 323 issues, Steve.
Oh, wow.
So for out of 323, I'll give this episode a 232.
All righty.
Yeah, I took the numbers and
232.
Okay. How about you, Steve?
Well, you did make a lot of really good points. I think our opportunity to be Sam Beckett in the world of The Simpsons just kind of appearing does give us the advantage of hindsight, and it just kind of lets us kind of enjoy the world as it is. And I think that when I watched this originally when I was a kid, I did poo-poo it as well. I felt it was like a little eager to, you know, offer new things and like the guest stars. But watching it this time around, I have to say the first third of the episode, the comic book stuff, I was all in for. You know, this is the introduction of Milo, the comic book guy, is kind of not nemesis because he's a completely nice guy, but you know, kind of a foil for Jeff Albertson. So that alone makes this episode kind of monumental because Milo's appeared in like 7 more episodes since then, sometimes just in cameo, but there he is.
But it's not always played by Jack Black, right?
Right. Yeah. Sometimes it's I think it's might be Hank doing it.
Okay.
Because yeah, Jack Black probably doesn't hang out in the Fox studios all the time.
He was actually banned.
Oh, I know what he did.
I don't think he has any controversy. I can't think of anything.
No, not really. He's pretty much well liked, and
yeah,
I think just like a nice guy.
He's up there with like the status of like a Dolly Parton and Betty White.
Yeah,
Keanu Reeves, celebrity territory. Like the internet will always love them.
Yeah, there's a sorry to go off on a tangent, but there's a band that this plays on Instagram. I think they're called the Om Band or AHM, and they're just a bunch of kids who do like a lot of classic rock covers. And the lead singer sounds kind of like him. And so the band tried to make an effort to get Jack Black to duet with him. And there's a video of him like reacting to it and then singing along with him. And it's just really wholesome and sweet. So yeah, Jack Black, probably a genuinely nice guy, hopefully. But this episode take a lot of leaps and bounds, much like a superhero would. And it is a weirdly horny episode. Like, I feel like the desire to draw pectoral muscles is like the driving force behind this episode. Like, between like the comic book guys being all muscly and then Homer's like odd chest of weird nipples,
yeah,
and just like all the hunky men, it's interesting. It's an interesting move. Just a lot of scantily clad men. So good on you, Selman, for that.
And the bulges, Steve. Don't forget about the bulges.
I can never forget about the bulges. In my mind, they're battling. I do think that this is a fun episode. It is kind of, especially of this era, middle of the road, as you put it. I think that's a good point because it is a little goofy, but I think it's important in the canon of The Simpsons by and large, because one, you're introducing a new character. And I just think it's just a weird way to go for an episode. The story structure and just the way that the dream sequence goes, and just it's an odd episode, but I think that people should watch it. So as I mentioned, there were in 2019 367 curves gyms in the US. So I'm gonna give this a I'm gonna say 269 out of 367.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it a watch or a skip?
I'm gonna say it's a watch. A reluctant watch, but a watch. Like it's not quite like a you gotta watch this, but it's you should check it out.
All right. Should we check out what we're gonna watch next week?
I think we should. And to do that, we're gonna need that wheel of random. Let's give it a spin to see which season we're in. Boop.
Season 14.
Season 14. Alrighty. Let's give it a spin to see which episode we're watching. Boop.
Episode 12.
Season 14, episode 12. Why, that's I'm spelling as fast as I can.
Steve, you're not supposed to read the description.
Oh, that's right, and I haven't.
Okay, well, Steve, what do you think I'm spelling as fast as I can is about?
Okay, so I mean, I have to assume it's about a spelling bee, but the fast as I can part makes me think that they're making a speed reference. So a supervillain, we'll say Monty Burns, has created a super train that is not going to be stopped unless Lisa stops spelling words. So she has to spell words, like long words, like onomatopoeia and anti-distabilization. And but to do so, she has to do it quickly so the train keeps on moving. Otherwise, everyone will die. Is that what happens?
No, not at all, Steve.
Oh.
But that's a great story. I think you should pitch it to Matt Selman.
I'll give him a call after the report.
Okay. It's actually, you're right. It's about Lisa and spelling bee, though.
Okay.
You got that part right. But what you didn't get, Steve, is the bee story.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's Lisa participates in the Spell Olympics, but Homer is too busy traveling across country as Krusty Burger test markets a new sandwich.
Oh.
Lisa's confident that she will win until she learns that the contest is rigged against her.
Wow.
Steve, do you remember this episode?
Vaguely. I think I remember the McRib or whatever they call it, B plot.
Yeah.
Craig?
Oh, yeah. I remember this episode.
Yeah.
One of my favorite, I think one of my favorite quotes is in this episode.
Ooh, wow.
It's because it guest stars George Plimpton.
Oh, yep. I know which one it is.
And there's like a scene I remember about Lisa trying to decide. Something about the colleges, like they're going to bribe her and she can, you know, choose whatever college she wants to go to. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's thinking about it. And like one of the schools has a hot plate. Right.
Uh-huh.
George Plimpton is always like, and a hot plate.
So this is dumb, but at my work, I recently asked to get a hot plate so I can make syrups and
that
sauces.
Joke? Oh,
that too. At the bar rather than having to do it at home or in the kitchen. And every time I take out that, I hear George Plimpton saying, and a hot plate. So yes, I do remember that very well.
But I don't remember if I like the episode. I guess I'm going to find out.
Yep. It originally aired on February 16th, 2003 and was written by Kevin Curran. So we'll find out.
Okay. Well, I would like you to find out all about us by contacting us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
And you can always email us at 13simpsons@gmail.com. And if you're so kind, go to your favorite podcatching app and leave us a review and 5 stars. But you don't need to write a real review. You can just tell us your favorite comic book death.
And, you know, also, if you don't want to write us, you can talk to us.
Oh, yeah.
You can go to our, if you look in the links in the description of this episode, there's a link to leave a voicemail. So there's that.
Yeah. Shout out to Jim for the kind words. Thank you so much, Jim. And thank you to all of you for listening every week, if we don't say that enough.
All right. Well, for this week, I've been an annoyed grunt boy, Craig.
And I've been an annoyed grunt boy, Steve.
And remember, you see what those bloody corporations do. They take your ideas and they suck them. Suck them like leeches until they've gotten every last drop of marrow from your bones.
I got dolphin.
little Lulu, I love you, Lou, just the same.